Gold team still up 1-0 as the first period is winding down. Inter-squad scrimmage here at Bridgestone Arena. Predators getting ready before they leave for the Hub City on Sunday, which is in Edmonton. They'll have an exhibition game against Dallas on July 30th, so next Thursday, and then they will get their qualifying round and their series with the Coyotes started on Sunday, August 2nd. We bring in Jim Wyatt, who has been covering the Titans for a very long time. To see Titans.com on the line with us. Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well.
Well, you should be great because, you know, we're getting live sports going, and including your Dodgers tonight in the nightcap. Dodgers, Giants, Cueto, and Kershaw. Are you excited?
I am excited. No, these games, the Dodgers have been playing some of their squad games and their exhibition games on, the Fox Sports West channel. I think that's what it is. And got the baseball package here, so I've been watching those and seeing the crowd build of the cardboard cutouts. Got Mary Hart back behind home plate on Tuesday night for that game against the Angels. So it's not normal yet, but at least it's closer than it had been. And I am looking forward to start a baseball season and looking forward to a lot of these other leagues getting cranked up.
How about Mookie Betts' contract yesterday? It's good to be Mookie, huh?
Sure is. I mean, obviously he grew up and played high school ball right off of Franklin Road at Overton, and to see a Nashville guy make good is proud moment, especially as he's going to do it with the Dodgers. You know, the worst case scenario for me when after that trade was made, that he was going to end up with the Dodgers and never play a game there, and then obviously they worked on a plan to play a 60-game schedule in playoffs and thought, well, maybe I'd get a shortened season of Mookie. But to see now that he's got the 12-year, $365 million deal, probably going to retire a Dodger, I'm excited about that. And I think gives me even more reason to be fully invested in this team. I mean, because you got Mookie Betts. Unfortunately, David Price did not play this year, but Walker Buehler and Beatty from Belmont and a lot of Vanderbilt guys and Nashville guys in the system. It's a good time to be a Dodger fan.
We actually had Jorge Castillo on last hour, who covers the Dodgers for the LA Times, and he said the Dodgers were trying really hard. This is just to give a little backdrop of how much they've really wanted Mookie Betts. They were trying desperately to trade for him at the deadline last year, but the Red Sox, he said, started a kind of a winning streak and I guess decided not to part ways with him, but they were trying to get him at the deadline last year.
Yeah, he's a heck of a player and got so many good years ahead of him. He's going to be, just watching him in some of these exhibition games, I mean, I watched him obviously playing for the Red Sox and know what kind of player he is, but he's going to be a fan favorite once the fans are back in the stands. I'm looking forward to seeing him in Dodger Blue for many years to come.
Speaking of exhibition games, looks like there's not going to be a preseason. How do you think that's going to affect the start of the regular season?
Well, I think it's going to be – I say one hand it's going to be sloppier, and I think it will, just because even though these veterans and the starters weren't playing a lot of snaps in preseasons of the past, still allows you to work out some of the kinks and get a better, familiarity and get on the same page heading into the season. Without having the benefit of any of those snaps against another team, I think it's going to cause for some less than perfect football at the start. But the thing is, it's everybody. I mean, it's everybody's going to be impacted by that. It's also going to hurt some of these young guys that trying to find their way onto NFL rosters and guys that don't make it in one place. The chances of them being seen and signed by somebody else go down just because you're not able to see them perform. So that's unfortunate. I mean, it's one of the many changes that it's going to be the 2020 season, and I still keep my fingers crossed that everything is going to go off and the season will start on time. But there are a lot of challenges here as we at the start of players reporting, and just got to hope for the best that that things can be off on time and there won't be a lot of outbreaks on teams.
Titans signed their third-round pick, Darrington Evans, yesterday. So they just have two unsigned, and that's their first and second-round picks, and Isaiah Wilson and Christian Fulton. What do you think Evans' role is going to be this year with the Titans? How much do you think they're going to use the rookie?
Well, I think the plan is to use him a pretty good amount. I mean, catching the ball out of backfield to spell Derrick Henry some. I think a lot depends on what he's able to do and how comfortable he can get early. You know, he along with all these other rookies, you know, were hurt by the fact they couldn't have OTAs and mini camp and really kind of get your footing before camp starts. So he's going to be scrambling a little bit at the start. It's just a matter of how much he can catch up. Derrick Henry is always going to make a case for himself to be on the field. We've heard so much talk about trying to spell him a little bit and reduce his workload and try to help him be stronger toward the end of the season. But none of that's come from Derrick Henry. I mean, he wants to play, but I think everybody realizes that you've got to keep him from taking such a pounding. And I think that's why Evans was drafted. I think he could be better than Deion Lewis, certainly than Deion Lewis of 2019. And I think he can provide some explosiveness for this offense. But he's going to be under the gun at the start just to try to be prove that he can be counted on at the start.
So some of the answers that would apply to the question I'm going to ask you if I would have asked you this time last year would have been obviously Ryan Tannehill because he wasn't the starter. Khalif Raymond would be another very good example. A guy we're not talking about now, but when the season goes along, at some point we're going to talk about them because they have a big play, whether it's the game-winning touchdown or what have you. And or a big season. I mean, whatever it may be, how would you answer that? Who is a guy on this roster that nobody's talking about now, but we will be talking about in a good way at some point during the course of the season?
Well, everybody knows Vic Beasley, but it just seems like that one has kind of been under the radar, because no one has. He hasn't spoken to media yet, and B, because everybody seems to be fascinated with Clowney, that it's almost like people have forgotten that Beasley was even signed back in March. But I think Vic Beasley is going to be one of those guys whose name is going to be heard a lot in 2020. He's obviously somebody people know because he has been in the league for a while. He's been to some Pro Bowls, and he's not going to be a surprise by any stretch, but. I think he's going to become a household name for Titans fans. I think I'm curious to see. You mentioned Evans. I think Evans could be one of those guys. I think Christian Fulton potentially could be, a big playmaker for this team, the second-round pick out of LSU, who's going to have a role this year. I'm curious to see how the whole secondary plays out. When I start looking at camp and positions to watch, I think what happens – with him and what happens at that slot position especially is going to influence just how play time is distributed between a number of guys. So I think those are two. And then, the good thing is on the offensive side of the ball, I think we could sit here and name 10 of the 11 starters, probably all 11, because I think Dennis Kelly's going to end up winning that job over Isaiah Wilson at the start. So the good news is you've got players that are returning on, in the starting lineup. And on the defense, yes, you have to replace some guys, but it's not a roster that has, or at least a starting group that has a whole bunch of holes that need to be filled.
Talking to Jim Wyatt from the Titans website, does great coverage. Jim, there's a lot of stuff going on over there. I jogged by there the other day, and I saw the construction firsthand that's going on along the left side of the practice facility that people probably have a vision of at some point if they've ever been over there. But what are they going to use that space for that they're building on?
Yeah, that's the massive expansion project that they got started, I guess, at the end of last year, and it's going to allow the organization to house, you know, employees that are now currently working in Nissan Stadium, that currently are working at the annex across the street. It's just going to bring everybody together under one big structure, and I think it's going to allow other coaches and other parts of the team to have a little bit more room to work with. It's come a long way. I'll say that, you know, I was by there over the weekend myself, and it looks completely different than it did, you know, the last time I was in the building, which was in March because of the pandemic. So I tweeted out a picture of it, and a lot of people were like, whoa, you know, that has changed significantly, and it has. It's probably still a year away, over a year away from being completed. But it's going to have a big entertainment space at the top that's going to allow people to come and watch training camp practices, obviously not this year, but in the future, and where you can host private events. You know, the studio inside is going to be moved to a different location. I think the media will have a different space to work in, and a lot of people's offices across the organization are going to be moved with that space. But it looks great, and I mean, it's going to look great. That, you know, you look at the final drawings of what it's supposed to look like. It's going to be a first class facility.
Jim, I don't know if they thought this far ahead yet, but I'm curious. You know, they just had, of course, a new hire. The last time we had you on, you were talking about these guys, but one of them is in charge of the game day experience. We're watching right now as Major League Baseball, you said it, you've been watching some of the spring games. They're working on how to do the sound when you don't have a stadium full of people. The Predators are running through things right now, piping in some sound and some different highlights and some music. I don't know how far the Titans have gotten with that, but presuming that there's not a full stadium in the very least, if any fans, do they have any idea of how they're going to go about it as a league or as a team?
Well, I think still a lot remains to be seen, because the hope is that there will be fans in the stands. And again, you know, it's going to be reduced capacity, and it's going to depend on what, you know, local officials say can be there. But I'm not expecting it to be any more than, you know, in that 12 to 15 to 20,000 range, and 20,000, I think, on the high end. So, you know, if you can get if you can get some fans in social distance, you don't have to be as creative as some other things I've seen. If in the event that doesn't happen, then I know they've talked about different things. You know, watching the Dodgers, I know they've already sold 4,500 of those cardboard cutouts. I feel a little bit better seeing, you know, Mary Hart sitting behind home plate when I was watching the game the other night, even though it was a cardboard cutout of Mary Hart. But, you know, the organist is playing. They are pumping in the crowd noise. They're doing the walk-up songs for players. And when the Dodgers beat the Angels in the exhibition game, you know, the other night, they played Randy Newman's I Love L.A. So, I mean, so you're trying to keep it as you know, close to what a normal game day might look like. Now, the NFL, again, I think across the league, most teams are still holding out hope that you're going to have players. But I saw the Fox tweet that today, they're going to put fans in the stands, I guess, from a technology standpoint, to make it look like it's a packed stadium. I actually like that better than looking at a bunch of empty seats. I mean, the Dodgers, when they first started these, you know, inter-squad scrimmages, they were doing it with nobody in the stands. And at least it looks a little bit better, even with the cardboard cutouts in there. I don't have a problem with them digitally putting fans in the stands on these Fox telecasts. I don't know what other leagues are looking at from that standpoint, but you know that they're going to try to be as creative as possible. And a lot of that's going to be a network deal. I mean, you know, what the networks do at, you know, during the course of the season, if the stadiums are empty, I guess we'll probably be across the board. But, again, I'm hoping fans are there. I know that, you know, some cities have already said they're not going to have fans, at least the plan is to not have fans. And there's a scenario, I guess, where some stadiums will have limited capacity, others won't have anybody there. So it's going to be kind of a work in progress.
Jim, good stuff. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, you guys have a good one. Thank you.
You too. Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com is where you can find his work. Has been covering the team for a very, very long time here in this market. We will come back. We will start the fourth and final hour here from Bridgestone Arena, bringing Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet and 31 Thoughts. We do that on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.